Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. Based in London, he writes political economics. We turn now to what I suppose is politics and economics in some fashion, but really it's about Boris Johnson, the prime minister, the tousled-haired rascal, the man who can, if prodded, recite the Iliad in the original Greek with all of the smiles in the room. He can do this. He's a polymath when it comes to getting out of tight jams, and he's in one now. Having to do with Partygate, which Joe will remind us where it comes from in a moment. However, there's a new scandal, which Joe tells me in London is called Rainergate. Rainer is the deputy leader of the leading minority party in Parliament, Labour. However, now she's at the centerpiece of many interviews on television because of unacceptable remarks said to be from a Tory MP, anonymous. And Boris Johnson is apologizing more sincerely and more repetitively than he's apologized for Partygate. But first, Partygate, because that might be the one that Johnson cannot solve. There is a rule in Parliament. The Prime Minister shall not deceive, a.k.a. lie, to Parliament. Joe, please explain Partygate. Where does it come from?
This has to do with a bunch of parties that appear to have happened in number 10 Downing Street, which is the Prime Minister's official residence and office complex, when the rest of the country was in the middle of the pandemic lockdowns. And we have reports of a dozen or more of these events involving various staffers and various offices and departments. And we also now know that Boris Johnson himself attended several of these illegal parties, and he has been fined for doing so and may receive more fines for other parties as the police investigate. Now, the problem is, when this story first broke last winter, he stood in the House of Commons and told members of Parliament that he had not been aware that any of this was happening and was not aware that any laws had been broken. So the trouble now is, since he attended some of these events, what did he think he was doing? And it is implausible, I think, to suggest that he did not realize that he was attending a party when there was cake involved at least one of them. And it also is kind of improbable that the Prime Minister would not have understood the lockdown rules that he was imposing on the rest of the country. So this is a real fix that he's in, and that fix got even worse last week when members of Parliament voted to open a form of ethics inquiry to investigate the specific question of whether he lied to the House.
Yes, lying to the House. There are several inquiries underway, and that's where I get lost. There's a police inquiry. There's a civil service inquiry, because there's a permanent government behind the elected members of Parliament. And there might be one more. Is there a Tory inquiry? All these inquiries are coming together. Are they to meet at a certain point in time? And how does this relate to his political risk?
You're absolutely right. There are a lot of overlapping inquiries going on here. So the police are investigating specific alleged instances of rule breaking for which they can issue fines, what are known as fixed penalty notices, kind of the equivalent of a parking ticket here. And so then there is also a separate inquiry being run by a top civil servant named Sue Gray, which is investigating sort of the broader culture of Downing Street and kind of what about the way that the bureaucracy or these hierarchies were functioning would have allowed these parties to occur. And then you're going to have this political inquiry in the House of Commons, specifically on the issue of whether Boris deceived the House about what he knew about all of this. And then, the background to all of this is that the Conservative Party, the Conservative members of Parliament who are in Boris's own party, at some point are going to have to decide how much more of this they want to put up with. Because at any time, if some 50 or so of them submit letters to their Conservative caucus within the House of Commons, they can hold a vote amongst their own number on whether they want to keep Boris on as their leader and the prime minister. And so that is really the high stake that is involved here. All of the rest of these three investigations are ultimately going to feed into what those Tory members of Parliament will decide to do or not do about Boris Johnson's political future.
Now we come to Rainergate, which I will attempt to explain briefly, very briefly. Rainer is Angela Rainer, the deputy leader of the Labour Party that sits opposite the Tory benches in Parliament, especially when the Prime Minister is answering questions from the whole House or challenges from the Labour Party across the very small gap between them. This is the House of Commons. As I understand it, a member of the Conservative Party sent a note claiming that Angela Rayner was being provocative in order to distract the Prime Minister because she couldn't match his debating skills. I'll leave it at that, Joe. None of this comes to anything other than conduct in a high school by the member of Parliament, whoever wrote this note, claiming that he had it validated in a drinking session at on the Commons Terrace. Joe, they do a whole lot of drinking at the Parliament. Good heavens. And this has turned into a TV spectacular story in Britain. Angela Rayner is now known to all of Britain. And in fact, this probably advances her skill set in the Labour Party. Good for her. However, Boris Johnson has gone out of his way to apologize not once but twice, unless I've fallen behind. Maybe there's a third apology, including a written apology. Is Rainergate about Partygate? Is it about Boris? Is this out of nowhere, Joe? I mean, how does this fit into the other understanding that the Tories have had enough of Johnson overboard with him?
Well, I mean, this is just such a ridiculous scandal. I mean, not in the sense that it isn't serious because it is, but just because it is so stupid and offensive for the Conservatives to have said such a thing, whichever of them did say it. And, you know, I think that there are a couple of factors that explain why this might be gaining traction right now. One is that this comment that somehow a very talented female opposition politician is using her feminine wiles to distract the prime minister. I mean, it is both offensive and preposterous. So you have that. And then I think that there was this element of classism to it, to the extent that this unnamed Tory seemed to be suggesting that she's doing this because her background is so common or middle class that she can't possibly keep up with the Eton and Oxford educated Boris Johnson. And on top of all of that, it feeds into a long running argument and discussion that's been going on in this country about the culture within the House of Commons and the extent to which there might be bullying or sexism problems there. And then on top of all of that, we're coming up on local elections in a lot of parts of the UK in just another week or two. And one of the demographics that the Tories are particularly worried about losing are middle-aged women. Where pollsters are suggesting that those voters might start switching away from the Tory party because those voters are so fed up with the Partygate scandal. So, I mean, that all of it, I think, explains why this story is so resonant and helps explain why this comment was not just stupid, but also very offensive.
Yes, and now we bring us back to Ukraine war, because there has been the opinion in Parliament, and what I know is I read the Telegraph and the London Times and the Daily Mail and listen to what I can of BBC World Service. That's my education. Joe's in London, so I bounce this off of him. So far, in these last 7 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever it is now in Ukraine war, the gravity of this situation, this challenge to the European project, has been such that Boris Johnson has enjoyed the attention due a prime minister who's looking to support liberty. He's been to Kyiv. He's sending weapons and SAS trainers into Ukraine. And now the Russians are threatening the UK, threatening them because they're shipping heavy weapons, because they're sending a delegation, because Russia's saying your delegation's not going to be exempt from our war fighting, even if it is in an embassy. Other threats are going on routinely now. Is this helping Boris? Has he counted on Ukraine to prop him up? Because he speaks very well when he does his Churchill conduct. And he matches Zelensky when the two of them are together speaking of the need to win and for Russia to lose. Does that help him in the polls that there's an international crisis underway?
Well, I think it has definitely helped him politically, and we would probably be having a very different conversation about him and his political future and the party scandals and also his bad handling of the economy and the inflation crisis here if it had not been for this foreign policy crisis intervening when it did. But what I am starting to pick up, particularly over the past week and after the parliament started its own inquiry into whether he deceived them, you're starting to hear some conservative members of parliament say, you know what, we can't afford to keep him even with the Ukraine crisis going on. And in fact, we might find that our response to the Ukraine crisis will be more credible over the longer term if we have a more credible leader. And so I think that that suggests to me that we might be reaching the end of the road for whatever political boost Boris has gotten from his, what really has been a very good handling of the Ukraine crisis. But, you know, that might not be enough to save him because he has committed so many other errors along the way.
I listened to the podcast from the Financial Times over the weekend, which I recommend to everyone because these are professionals covering Ireland and Scotland and Wales and London. And one of the things that came up, Joe, in the conversation was something you flagged last week. There are local elections upcoming that could be a good moment for the Tories to consider Boris or not. What local elections? What significance do they have?
Well, I think that a bunch of local governments will be reelected. I mean, the system here is you have, what are called boroughs, which are, might have several hundred thousand people living in some of them, especially in London. They are governed by councils, and many of those councils are going to be up for reelection. And the Conservatives are expected not to do well. And, American listeners in particular need to understand that this works somewhat differently from U.S. politics. I mean, oftentimes local elections in the U.S. are local elections. You know, the issues are very local and the politicians are very local and party might have less to do with it. There's some of that here, but there is more of a sense in the U.K. where these local elections are viewed as a referendum on the national government. And so from that perspective, they are expected to do very poorly. There's one borough in London, Wandsworth Borough, near where I live, that has been controlled by the Conservatives for about 40 years. They may be in danger of losing control of that local council to the Labour Party. And I think that if that happens, that is really going to put a fright to the Conservatives in Parliament about whether Boris is becoming a very big liability.
In other words, they can use that moment to say, what use Boris Johnson? We just lost one of our longtime seats. They can use that talking point. Final detail, Joe. Boris continues to say, I will not resign, correct? You either throw me out the window or I'm here forever.
Yes, he seems to intend to hang on. And at the moment, he might feel he has no particular need to go before they're ready to push him. But we'll see what happens after these local elections and how the mood might change within the Conservative Party. And if it does, how he might respond to that.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. We're going to go to the solar system next. Two men who have ambitions to reach Mars are now apparently battling over Twitter. One is named Musk, the other is named Bezos. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit WashableSofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.